Hi, this is your play button. Thank you for pressing me. However, if you're under the age of 18, are not terribly broad-minded, or have a boss at work who likes you less than a tax audit, I would encourage you to press my cousin, the stop button. Otherwise, welcome to Ypres Choice Podcast.
Hello, this is Ypres from the Ypres Choice Podcast, and I would like to clear up one point. I am not, and never have been, a hamster. The person described as Philip is in actuality myself, and I would like to clear this point up, as there seems to be some sort of confusion that I am, in fact, a hamster. Nothing could be further from the truth. And it did. What? Your, voice changer button is off again. Oh, crap. Can you fix this in post? Oh, sure, dude, no problem.
Suspicious auditory stimulus detected.
Hi guys, and welcome back to the show. It's been over a month since my last show. Christmas, that's all I'm going to say. Christmas and the New Year's. It's always a time of insanity. If you read the show notes, and I know you do because you're nice people and you always read the show notes, you'll note that I'm not doing any news this week as I've been up to my neck in it, and I haven't really had a chance to catch up on any news. In fact, other than the stuff I've been reviewing on this week's show, I haven't had a chance to watch much anime or read much manga, but you know what Christmas is like, it's just always insane. A couple of updates on the show. I now have, if you guys have been checking out the website, I now have an send me an audio button. And audio is a website for podcasters both to listen to and to record their own podcasts. And basically, if you click on the button and you have a mic, either a USB or an analog mic plugged into the computer, you could send me a voicemail message. I've also got a MyChingo voicemail that no one's left any messages for. Thank you very much. I also have a Snapvine voicemail. And so if you live in the US, the call charges won't be so stiff. And basically what you do is you dial the international extension and you dial 1 for America. And then it's 641-985-7800. And then at the prompt, press the star key and then press 172-3766, and you can leave a voicemail for me and I can play it back to my heart's content. More stuff, I've added a Dig Ypres Choice, so if you go to dig.com you can now dig Ypres Choice, but you have to be a registered user before you can add me, and you also have to keep up, you know, digging stuff up for dig.com. otherwise, if you dig my podcast on their website and then you don't do anything else, they just discontinue it after a couple of weeks. I'm also now into Technorati, so you can catch me at Technorati. So if you search for me in Technorati, you'll find me under two separate listings. Now, one other piece of information I need to tell you guys is that if you've been reading the website, you notice that the post I put up about changing over my website, this means is that in a couple of months, I'll be leaving Podomatic.com and I'll be shifting the entire site over to Blogspot.com. So it's the new URL is EpersChoicePodcast.blogspot.com. Now, in the coming weeks and months, I'll be cross-posting on both sites, so if you want to subscribe to either feeds, you'll still be able to receive the show in either feed. But at some point, I will be shutting down the Podomatic account and shifting the entire show over, but I'll let you guys know beforehand. I also said in the show notes I had one or two other announcements. The other announcement is I'm going to be getting a temporary co-host in the next show. We're not sure how it's going to work out, but if it works out fine, they'll permanently be with me. And if not, well, it's back to little old lonesome me again. So with that, I'm going to go straight into the reviews. And my review this week, actually, no, I have very few reviews. I only have two manga reviews, and I have a Retro Choice review for you guys. So. Reviews. My manga reviews this week will be the manga Infinite Rivius, or Rivius, whichever you want, by Hajime Yutade, and the construction is by Yusuke Kuroda, and the art is by Shinsuke Kurihashi. Okay, what's Infinite Rivius about? Well, Infinite Rivius is based off the TV series by Sunrise, which was made in 1999. It's set in the year 2225, and in this one, the Earth has undergone a cataclysmic event where a large gaseous cloud has enveloped most of the solar system. It's now nicknamed the Gedulde Sea. Orbiting one of the gas giants is a station called Libe Delta, with the training ship Rivius attached to it, and it's a space academy for kids, astronauts in training. A cataclysmic event destroys the station and kills all of the adults on board, leaving only the young teenage students to fend for themselves in the Rivius. Add to this the fact that for no apparent reason the Earth forces have suddenly decided to attack the Rivius for no apparent reason, so the teenagers must now fend for themselves. But with the fact that there are no adults on board, the command structure has broken down, so it has to be rebuilt, and unfortunately it isn't long before a situation akin to Lord of the Flies develops. Now, what can I say about this title? Well, for the manga version, the author Kurahashi decided to take the perspective of the girl Aoi Hosen, as opposed to the Aba brothers, who most of the action centers on in the anime. But it's an interesting perspective, as it deals with the girl to the sideline storyline as opposed to the guy storyline, which is an interesting perspective. And you watch the series through Aoi's eyes and her roommate's perspectives. So instead of it being the guys, it's the girls mostly who get the storyline. And this is good because I like stories that take place inside of a universe that I already know. Now, please note that I had to actually go and buy Infinite Rivius before a lot of this made sense, because some of the events that take place in the manga are already done in greater detail in the anime. So if you feel like you're being left out of the loop, you're not alone in this. You actually are being left out in the loop. It's, like I said, a very Lord of the Flies feel. It all starts off well intentioned, but it doesn't take long before corrupt elements come into the mix, and finally you have abuses of the system where one group of teenagers supersedes all else. Also, you have this interesting concept of the ship's AI, Nea, who observes the whole thing unfolding both in front of her eyes and in front of Aoi's eyes. It's a nice, interesting mix. We're introduced to a few characters like Aoi, the Abra brothers, Koji and Yuki, Ikumi Uzi, Kozui Izumi, and Nea, as I've already said before. If you've seen Rivius, then it's an interesting perspective. If you haven't seen Rivius, then you don't see many characters outside of that. And that doesn't spoil the story from being nice, inventive, and well-paced. The oppressive atmosphere that Aoi recognizes to descend upon the ship, you can palpably feel it in both volumes. However, a word of warning, as I've said before, if you've never seen the anime version, do not read this. Read this as an addendum to the anime series. Don't read this and then watch the anime, because it'll be spoiled for you, the ending. Other than that, I can't say anything else. As I said, I had to watch the anime at some point to get all of this. I will review the anime in about... I'll just review the anime whenever, okay? Up next is a promo for somebody or other. I don't know.
I remember watching the trailer for Koikaze at Otakon, and this could be like an interesting character drama. You've got the older man, and then the younger woman, and maybe they're like forced to live together, and they have to learn how to get along with each other, even though they're from vastly different generations.
Kind of like the little girl in Panda Go Panda. We're not going to talk about that again.
Which would be like a pretty good show, considering the situation of Japan today, where there's this incredible generational gap. But instead, no, it's about finding your little sister's panties in the dryer and then rubbing them all over your face while you masturbate in the bathroom.
Yeah!
As soon as I saw Koikaze on the screen, I was like, oh, crap.
Dave and Joel's Best Karate for the Gentleman.
The anime podcast for people who don't like anime.
Or podcasts.
Find us online at www.daveandjoel.com.
And my next review is the manga Legal Drug by Clamp. Legal Drug follows the lives of two 20-something-year-olds, Kazuhaya Kudo and Riku Himura, who find themselves working in the green drugstore pharmacy for Kake, the owner of the pharmacy. Kazuhaya and Riko have dark secrets in their past, naturally. Kazuhaya was raised alone with his twin sister Kei, but after promising her he would stay with her, he ran away for some unknown reason. Riko is looking for Tsukiko, a girl from his past. Her room was found by Riko, covered in blood. Kazuhaya and Riko have a common trait. They both have psychic powers. Kazuhaya has clairvoyance and psychometry. Riko has telekinetic powers. Kake employs them at the store as regular workers, but he also uses their powers to make deliveries, quote-unquote, using their powers. Kake seems to use his own clairvoyant powers to aid them, but he never gives them all the information, just enough that they need to complete the task. Now, some fans have picked up on the shonen aspects of the relationship between Kazuhaya and Riko. Kazuhaya has very effeminate facial features. More men than women find him attractive, while Riko has admitted he finds Kazuhaya attractive himself. It also doesn't help that Kake teases Kazuhaya over his looks, or that Kake's lover Saiga loves to be sexually suggestive around Kazuhaya. However, Clamp have said that this is not the case when they were writing and drawing the story. Now, the manga is published in 3 volumes in the United States by Tokyopop, while it was originally published in Asuka magazine and had only 3 volumes completed when Clamp either abandoned working on it in favour of other works or Kadokawa Shoten ceased publishing the version of Asuka it was appearing in. Either way, at Anime Expo 2006, Clamp member and director Ageha Okawa has said that Clamp will be resuming it in the near future. So, after all of that long-winded crap, what can I tell you about Legal Joke? Well, like I said, Kazuhaya is always shown on away missions as a very feminine character, even though he hates the fact that he has to do that. Kudo is more concerned with Tsukiko and finding her, but it doesn't stop him, I won't say caring about Kazuhaya, because he basically annoys him and rubs him up the wrong way, but he does go out of his way to help him. Whenever they're on missions, he basically comes to Kazuhaya's rescue all the time, which annoys Kazuhaya no end. Kake and Saiga's relationship is very strange. At times it does seem like a proper relationship, and at other times Saiga just spends most of his time asleep at the counter or on one of the couches in the upstairs compartments. He also never takes off his sunglasses, which is never explained. I suppose if Clamp had continued on past volume 3, they would get to why he wears his sunglasses and why their relationship is the way it is. But as I said, with only 3 volumes, the story is very truncated, and it just simply cleaves off. I'd recommend this to anyone who wants a nice, short, sharp story. I would not, under any circumstances, recommend this if you want to see some sort of conclusion in the story, as because there's not three volumes, it simply ends, leaving you completely unsatisfied. I did speak about this in a previous show, and I'll leave a link in the show notes. As always with Clamp, their artwork is sharp, concise, it's always good. I could look at Clamp's artwork all day long and it wouldn't bother me much. But again, with a truncated story, it's very hard to recommend this. However, they did say at some point they will get around to it, and they will do at some point. But unfortunately, we are still waiting for them to finish X, the manga series, and that was finished almost, it must be 5-6 years since it finished, if not more. So I don't hold much hope that if they have to finish X still, and it's a much more popular title than Legal Drug, I don't hold out much hope that Legal Drug will get priority over it. But, you know, you can hold out and hope for the best. If you want to know more about Legal Drug, you can find more information at oglink.com/FZ. And if you need to know anything about Clamp, you can find out more at shortener.com/8W. Now, up next is my Retro Choice Corner, and for my Retro Choice Corner, I've decided to pick up the Retro OAV series Giant Robo from Media Blasters in the United States. Retro choice. So, how do I get into Giant Robo? Well, I'll tell you what. Over the course of the review, I'm going to play three clips. One is the original Japanese soundtrack from a particular scene. The second is the original English dub for it. And the third clip is the new English dub constructed by Media Blasters for this release. So what I want you guys to do is to email me at eperschoice@gmail.com which clip you liked most. It doesn't matter if you like the English dub, it doesn't matter if you like the Japanese dub, it's whichever you want. So, how to get into Giant Robo? Okay, I should start at the very, very top. Giant Robo is a manga written in the 1960s by Mitsuru Yokoyama. It follows the trials and tribulations of Daisaku Kusama, whose father created the nuclear-powered robot Giant Robo for the criminal organization Big Fire, but at the last second had a change of heart and bequeathed it to his son Daisaku before he died. Yokoyama, the original author, died in 1994, and was one of the last surviving prolific mangaka from the era that included Osamu Tezuka and Shotaro Ishinomori. His other works included Tetsuin 28, aka as it was originally known, Gigantor, and Romance of the Three Kingdoms. And for more information on Tezuka and Ishinomori, I will be reviewing Cyborg 009 at one point, and I will review Astro Boy at another point. But I will include links for both mangaka and Yokoyama in the show notes.
Agent Tetsuki!
Isn't that Daisaku Kusama?
Now, the 7-part OAV that I'm reviewing was created between 1992 and 1998 by Yasuhiro Imagawa. In making the OVA, Imagawa was constrained by copyright issues over certain characters, and so had to use characters from other Yokoyama creations, such as Babel 2, Romance, Water Margin, Tetsuin 28, and Sally the Witch, but he got Yokoyama's permission to do so beforehand. This musical score was composed by Masamichi Amano and was one of the first, if not the first, anime to use the Warsaw Orchestra in Poland. The plot of the OVA follows Daisaku as he, a member of the international crime-fighting unit, the Experts of Justice, which is the superpower team attached to the IPO, or the International Police Organization. They battle their ideological opposites, Big Fire, over the mystery behind the renewable energy source, the Shizuma Drive. Big Fire have their own superpowered team called the Magnificent Ten, and it is the Magnificent Ten that most come into conflict with the Experts of Justice. Now, the Shizuma Drive was developed by a team of scientists headed up by Dr. Shizuma and Dr. Franklin von Vogler. That's Vogler, but in the Japanese version it's called Forgler. However, while they are developing the drive in the fictitious area of Bashtarl, and for this point onwards I'm going to refer to it as the English name of Vogler, von Vogler, because it's too hard to try and pronounce the Japanese name. It's mangling the English language for me. Vogler went insane, and some minutes after that, the drive was activated, and a core meltdown was the result. A third of the world's population was killed as a result of the energy release, and the world was blanketed in a power dampening field. The incident became known as the Tragedy of Bashtarl. Shizuma and the rest of the team survived, as von Vogler disappeared in the blast, and they perfected the drive themselves, ushering in a new golden age of prosperity. However, this golden age was short-lived, as Big Fire began an assault on the world, with the apparent help of von Vogler, using a giant black orb, and I'm talking city-sized black orb, which was travelling from city to city around the world, draining the power in each city. It is powered by a variant of the Shizuma Drive. Through the Experts of Justice, Giant Robo, and Daisaku's intervention, Big Fire only possessed two of the three drives needed to power the orb. The Experts of Justice must now deal with the fact that, as well as the threat posed by Big Fire, someone is systematically killing the members of the Shizuma team one by one, and now only Shizuma himself is left, and the only thing stopping Big Fire from completing their mission is Daisaku and Giant Robo.
Ginray! Tetsuki! Huh? You have to hold on tight, alright?
Hey! That's Daisaku Kusama!
Then that makes this Giant Robo!
Okay, where do I start with this OAV? Can I tell you guys that this OVA is great? And I mean great. And the only reason why I'm not screaming is that it's 3 o'clock in the morning where I am, and I can't really scream because there's people next door to me asleep. So I'll finish it like this. This show has fantastic animation and stunning, stunning animation and artwork. Some standout moments are the machine train chase. Basically, two characters, Ginrei, a girl, and Tetsugu, are trying to protect Shizuma from Big Fire's hired goon for the day, who is using a hybrid train stroke mech to attack the train that they are traveling on top of. I said on top of, not in, on top of. And to take Shizuma and the drive away, presumably. Unfortunately, they're stopped by Robo, who then proceeds to attack him. But the thing I want to talk about the most is the fact that at one point the mech train chasing them tears up all of the planking in one of the railways. And when I mean each individual railway block is pulled up, I really mean it. Another standout moment is the original meeting between Daisaku and Murasame the Immortal, another member of the Experts of Justice, when Daisaku was originally repaired by Robo. Robo, along with Daisaku, fights on land, in the water, against a mech from Big Fire itself. He subsequently uses a giant cannon, I'm talking about Robo, to split both the Robo and the preceding mountain in half. The fight at Shanghai between Taiso, Expert of Justice, and Alberto, a member of the Magnificent Ten, is what I can only describe as the anime version of the Agent Smith and Neo fight at the end of The Matrix Revolutions. The giant sphere, another standout point of animation, when it attacks anything, I mean anything, a city, a person, a squad, building, it doesn't matter what it is. The interactions between the chief bad guy and the controller of the sphere, Genya and Ginrei. And if I say anything more about Genya and Ginrei, I'm giving away a major plot point, and I'm not going to say any more. Another piece of amazing work is the truth behind Bashtaro, what really happened that day. That is just an amazing piece. And of course, the final fight is nothing short of spectacular. Now, this really was a labor of love for Imago. Basically, he had commitments for other projects, and so he had to keep going away and coming back to Robo every couple of years. And every time he did it a bit more and a bit more and a bit more, and eventually got it all done. The direction he takes is fantastic. It's well-paced, well-plotted. You never feel for any second that there's too much talking and there's not enough action, or there's too much action and there's not enough talking. The music by Amano just soars. It's the kind of John Williams style, escape all realms of reality and into the fantastic kind of music. I'll play a sample of it at the end, as well as at the beginning of this review. The character designs by Toshiyuki Kubuka, Akihiko Yamashita, and Masami Ozoni are retro, keeping in line with the feel of the original manga and the characters borrowed from Yokoyama's other manga, but they're clean. They're well put together. You might think this is kind of escapist stuff, but this OVA deals with great concepts, such as the need to grow into adulthood, the concept of honor, both from the perspective of the bad guys, quote-unquote, and the good guys, quote-unquote. The concept of death. The acceptance of death. The faith of your friends. The duality of your foes. The similarity between you and your foes. The acceptance of your own limitations. The belief in your friends' faith in yourself. And the belief that your friends have in you, allowing you to escape your own limitations. The ability to soldier on in the face of overwhelming odds. Now, all of these are cornerstones of what got me into anime. Why I love what I love about anime. And basically, I could say that this OVA series encapsulates everything that is good about anime. And finally, the biggest thing that happens in the OVA series is that Daisaku's father, in the flashback where we find out about how he and Robo became paired up, Daisaku's father asks his son a question. Can happiness be achieved without sacrifice? He wants Daisaku to find out for himself. But in their own way, each and every character, both good and bad, finds out the meaning of this question over the course of the 7 parts of the OVA. And I don't know about you, but it's the kind of question that's double-edged. Yes, of course you can answer it, and no, of course you couldn't. Don't want to answer it because you know what it entails. Media Blasters have put this out in each individual disc, and they also released like a special sphere, you know, a Vogler sphere to hold all the discs, and that was cool. But recently they released it as a brick box set for $19. You can, if you hunt around, you can probably find it cheaper, maybe $14-$15. For $15, you're getting something like, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours worth of material, and you can't go wrong with that. It's a great buy. It's a brilliant purchase. It probably will be the hidden gem in your anime collection. Because no matter whether you're a girl or a guy, whether you like action or romance or drama or talking or sci-fi, it's got everything you possibly need. And I hope more people pick it up. But if you have picked it up or you're going to think about picking it up, please email me, eperschoice@gmail.com, and let me know how you got on or what do you think about it. Because I would really like to hear about more about this. Now, Anime World Order did a review of Giant Robo some months back, so I will link to the show notes in it, because I feel that they did it better justice than I ever could. So next up is the special section that I have ready. I'll do one or two more promos, I'll do the final section, and then we'll wrap this up, folks. Okay, back after these.
In a world where power and corrupt podcasts rule.
Ed, you should know something. I think I'm pregnant.
One show adds to that power corruption.
Well, it's not mine, and you're a dude.
Two friends.
Hey, Ed, remember that promise we made about going to Tokyo U together?
Review anime.
Dude, we don't even live near Japan.
Review manga.
Ed, cut the red wire.
I can't. I'm colorblind.
Jimmy Tokyo. You guys, I think you know what you're talking about.
You can find Chibi Tokyo under your podcast directory under anime.
When the world is reduced to a radioactive cinder floating in the frozen heart of space, and mankind has long since ceased to be, I take comfort in the fact that if the alien anthropologists excavate the remains of our shattered civilization, they will no doubt be able to learn everything they needed to know about human beings from a single, solitary movie.
Which movie?
Weekend at Bernie's 2. www.fearthegooberzilla.com, the greatest movie ever podcast.
Hey folks, we're on the home stretch here, and I have one more piece to do before we wrap the show. Recently an email came in to me from someone who asked, what did I think of English dubs of Japanese anime? Did I like them or hate them? And did it influence me whether I bought the DVD or not? And for the record, I don't mind English dubs so long as they're serviceable. What I do object to is things being redubbed over and over again when the original dub sufficed, or worse still, redubbed for no good reason. Case in point, I've decided to use Macross as an example. I actually have a copy of episode 2 of the Macross series as it was redubbed by ADV recently, and I've taken a sample of the show, specifically the scene in which Roy Fokker talks to Hikaru after he's crashed his Varitech fighter. And what I've done is I've found the clip again in my old Robotech DVDs from ADV, and I also have the Animego box set of Macross. And what I've done is I've simply clipped together the original scenes from the previous two shows. And what I'll do is I'll play them back to back. And I'd like your opinion on this, guys, because some people don't like dubs and prefer subs, and some people just listen to dubs the whole time and never listen to subs whatsoever, and they're that it's easier to have a mix of both. So you can catch me at the usual address. Let me know, because I would really like some input on this one. So here are the clips back to back.
いいわけないでしょ。それよりなんで戦闘機をロボットなんかにするんですか。
わけは今は言えんな。
軍の秘密ってやつですか。
当たりだ。
お前軍人になるぞ。冗談でしょ。それより何とかしてくださいよ。
I must be dreaming this. I don't believe it.
That airplane became a robot too.
Amazing.
A few small repairs and you can take that battleoid back into action.
What are you talking about? I don't even know what this thing is, and I'm sure not qualified to operate it.
If you can fly a jet, you can operate a battleoid. The controls aren't that much different. I'll tell you what to do. The legs are controlled by the foot pedals.
Huh? Which foot pedals? There must be 50 different controls in here.
Whoa! That was some transformation there.
It turned into a robot too.
Uh-huh.
So how did you like your first time getting shut down, huh?
It sucked, obviously. And what's the deal with these crazy fighter planes turning into robots?
Sorry, I really can't get into that right now.
Oh, some military secret.
Bingo, but I can tell you if you join up, how about it?
Don't get real, and would you please give me a hand or something? Come.
That about wraps up the show for this week, folks. I don't know when the next show will be out. It'll probably be about 2 or 3 weeks, as I have to buy a new preamp and more equipment. Da 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 da. So what's coming next show? Well, next show I'll be reviewing the manga Air Gear by Oh Great. Funny title for a manga, but the anime Ninja Scroll. Yes. And in the Retro Choice Corner I'll be taking a look at the classic anime from 1986, Project A called the movie. And it's one of my personal favorites. So you're in for a good treat, folks. As always, you can catch me at the website in the show notes. We'll have all the contact information, and I'll talk to you guys again next show. Thanks for listening in, folks. Bye-bye.
Hail, Big Fire! Allegiance or death!
Robo Strike!
It's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum.